One again, this is the December 2023 Game Fish and Parks Commission meeting. We're coming to you from Fort Pier this month. Next on our agenda, statewide fish management plan revision. We have John Lott with us. Welcome, John. Go ahead and introduce yourself to those listening online.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the commission, and Secretary Roebling. John Lott, Aquatic Section Chief. It's my pleasure this afternoon to share with you some planning updates for the Fisheries and Aquatics Program for the department. Okay, I'd say for about the last 10 years or so, we have been operating under management plans for Fisheries and Aquatics to help us best use the limited resources we have available. There's a lot of things out there that we could do, but we have to use those resources on the highest priorities. So we had a series of plans from 2014 to 2018, another from 2019 to 2024. And this afternoon, what I'd like to share with you are updates to planning for 2024 and the process that we are now using for that, how we went about establishing priorities. So just a brief overview of the presentation. I don't know if we've ever shared with the commission what the aquatics program looks like, so we thought we would do so today, then go over the planning process we have in place, and then dive into the meat of things. The main part of the presentation are those priorities. So inside the wildlife division, we have the aquatic section, and the aquatic section chief is supervised by the division director. That'd be Tom Kirschman. And then the section chief supervises a program administrator for fish production, a program administrator for fisheries management, and then five area fisheries supervisors. The production administrator oversees hatcheries. The management administrator oversees a lot of the statewide programs that we have in place. And then those area fisheries supervisors really help implement everything on the ground, if you will. In aquatics, instead of having regions, we have what we call management areas. In wildlife, they have the four regions. Aquatics has five areas. They're the same basic boundaries, except in central South Dakota, instead of having one region, we have two management areas there. On this map also are hatcheries and other infrastructure that we have in the system. Again, three state fish hatcheries, and we do work with some of the federal hatcheries and things like that. I'm clicking. I'm sure we'll get there.
Stand by. We're just working on the slides.
I should add, this is actually good that Nick had an issue with the slides here, because I forgot to mention, one of the biggest things I wanted to mention was that we do have an aquatic section within the wildlife division. But when you're talking about fisheries and aquatic management, that's the department. We have parts of the department outside the section that really contribute. Okay. As an example, Parks Division, very involved. Wildlife regions, the land programs we have, private lands biologists, law enforcement, and even the communication staff assist in the overall approach to fisheries and aquatic management in the state. So that actually worked out really well, Nick. I was able to remember to include you there. So. But it is a team approach, and it is much larger than the section within the Wildlife Division.
Try that, John. I think I got it. Sorry.
I'll just say.
Yep, I got it.
Okay, so let's back up one.
Yep. Sorry.
Okay, so the planning approach moving forward. The last 10 years or so, we had two series of very comprehensive plans. They went through the inventory we had for resources, equipment, staffing, everything, management issues, goals, objectives, and strategies. We're moving towards the department's approach that's being used right now, which is very simply identifying issues and associated priorities. We have those other documents as excellent reference documents for the overall program and things like that, but we're focusing on a simpler process, if you will, of establishing priorities right now. So, Nick? At the department level, the main priorities are habitat and access, asset management, customer service, and operational excellence. Everything we do in Fisheries and Aquatics program is within that. At the section level, in terms of priorities, we have the overall section, which would be like your 1,000-foot view. Then you have a tier down, which would be those statewide programs, your 500-foot view. And you go down to those, to your management areas, that would be like your 100-foot view. Next. So the top priorities in aquatics in the terms of management are habitat and access. Again, a department priority, habitat stamp has really helped to expand this program, and this is very simply two things. It's improving conditions for the fish to live and helping get people to the fish. Next. A big priority is urban and community fisheries. We have 58 fisheries that we manage that are associated with communities or urban areas. In 2023, we stocked about 85,000 fish in those 58 waters, including 60-some thousand catchable trout. The our population in the state is becoming more and more urban, and we're trying to provide angling opportunities in those areas. These fisheries also serve as the base for recruitment, retention, and reactivation efforts in those areas. You need to have a place for people to go, and we aim to intensively manage these resources to help have catch rates that are able to meet angler expectations there. Next. And stocking consistency is a big part of that. That's another priority, is we want to be able to meet a manager expectations and requests for fish for the urban and community fisheries and other waters. And a big need here that we're working towards is being able to meet the need for the warm water species for urban and community fisheries. Next in priorities is everything we do, we need to evaluate to see if we're doing the right things and they're effective at helping us to manage. So a main priority at the section level is evaluating our stockings, the habitat improvements we do, the access, is it helping increase angler use, urban and community fishery management strategies, all those things are a part of that evaluation. Next. So statewide programs, we go down from that 1,000 to 500 foot view. We have 9 statewide programs. The 4 that are in red here are the ones that are closely tied to those overall fisheries and aquatic resources program top priorities. But all these programs help us to have a coordinated approach to management on a statewide level and to continually improve how we do things and implement. Next, Nick. One of those programs is the survey program. And this program priorities include improving our data management system and info sharing. Two very key things. We collect a lot of information. We need to share it with people. And we need to have it there to use to make management decisions. Improving our survey designs and efficiencies are a part of it as well. And then understanding the bias associated with fisheries data. Every survey you do has some biases associated with it, and those need to be understood to help us to make good management decisions. Next, I already spoke about research and evaluations as well as a top priority. It's a statewide program as well, and we've recently taken the step for the survey and the research programs to have a lead biologist on those to help us with our coordination. Next, a habitat, again, a big priority. We have a statewide lead for habitat and access programs. And for habitat, the priorities are addressing the aging of our impoundments, reducing sedimentation in all the waters, enhancing water level management, specifically in those created impoundments again, and then working on improving water quality. There's 150 state-owned dams in the state, 74 of which are owned by Game, Fish, and Parks, the other 76 by School and Public Lands. And when you start talking about habitat for fish, fish need water, and dams hold back water. When you go east of the James River, the majority of the fisheries we have are impoundments. So there's certainly a big focus on impoundments as well as other waters. Some of the main management actions we're talking about here would be creating a water control structures on spillways if there's a need to repair or replace a spillway. Working in the uplands with our private land staff and others to help reduce the sedimentation and nutrients entering waters. And then, as you can see in the left picture here on the slide, doing dredging when it makes sense. It doesn't always make sense to do. It has to be where we're going to see a return on investment, but that's another tool that we do use. Next, access, very simply, again, getting people to the fish. Addressing infrastructure needs and limitations are a lot of what the field staff do in access. Things like accessibility for ADA, the aging infrastructure of the docks, the piers, the boat ramps. And then trying to keep up with changes in the water levels and impacts of things like ice on the access components when the ice breaks up and moves. The two other priorities that were identified by staff include meeting expectations for access. Very often we'll have a new fishery develop or water levels will change. And the people really want to be able to get to that fishery, and that then becomes a priority if we're able to make that happen. Access information sharing. At your September meeting, you had a presentation on the new public water access maps, and you know, being able to share that information is key to help encourage people to go. Next, the non-game program is a program you don't hear a lot about. You have, I think recently there was a presentation on lake chubs that we had from Chelsea Passbrig, and she oversees this statewide program for us. Some of the priorities here are continually to increase the status information we have on these species, which is often difficult because they're not always species that we sample well when we're sampling species in the recreational fisheries surveys. The priority of expanded management opportunities often has to do with things like habitat improvements and connecting streams and dealing with culverts and things that reduce the ability of the fish to pass. And data management, again, we have a big investment in the information we gather. Being able to assemble that and share that to make decisions is crucial. Next, this program you've heard a lot about, production, or fish production. Very simply, we need to increase our rearing capacities to meet the needs of managers. Expanding recirculating aquaculture is seen especially as a way to help increase the ability of those catchable warm water fish for managers. It's also something that's very big for our production of walleyes moving into the future. And a part of this is also a priority of planning for infrastructure needs as we move forward in time, and realizing that the resources we have to do all these things are always going to be limited. Next. The last two programs we have are beta and private aquaculture and fish health and contaminants. And these are things that we regulate and we license. And basically here, it's improving our data management for the waters out there in private aquaculture. And then online licensing and permitting for the beta and private hatchery industries and for issuing importation permits to help to speed up that process. Next, the AIS program has a standalone strategic management plan that the commission adopted in January. And very simply in that plan, we have priorities of outreach and education. That's our main tool. Then we have detection and monitoring, regulation and compliance, and mitigation and eradication, again, where it makes sense to do. Next. So fisheries management areas. Across the state, we have four management areas with very different priorities. We have the Black Hills, of course, and then Western South Dakota, Missouri River, and East River. Next, Nick. For the Black Hills, the priorities staff out there have established are improving the population of perch in Deerfield so that there are a larger perch available to anglers, evaluating some of the changes we've been making recently in our rainbow trout stockings. Stream habitat improvements will always be a priority out there. And the evaluation of walleye stockings in this stockade in Sheraton, and then sediment removal in the aging reservoirs in the hills. Those are the priorities there. Next, Nick. When you get into West River, I said almost all the waters that are west of the James River are impoundments. Our impoundments are aging. A lot of them were built in the 1930s. So addressing that for both the structural integrity of the waters and then dealing with the sediments and other things is always a challenge. One thing with those waters also is trying to do water level management, either artificially increase the water to help avoid things like winter kill, or to do a drawdown and then to reflood to increase the productivity of a system. Again, here West River, as with urban and community fisheries, fish availability for stocking is a big priority, and shore fishing access in periods of the year when the vegetation begins to grow and it becomes hard to fish from shore. The last one here, proximity to public fisheries, we want to really look at trying to have it where the public in rural areas have a quality fishery within a reasonable driving distance. We manage for urban fisheries for those big population centers, but we also have a responsibility for the people in the rural areas as well. So that's a consideration. Next slide. The Upper Missouri River, the smallmouth bass fisheries are something that are being studied and evaluated. Lake Sharp, we've been stocking paddlefish a number of years now, and we'll be looking at if that population is able to support a limited snag fishery. Lake Oahe walleye stocking, both the actual stocking itself and the evaluation is a priority. And then fish loss through dams. We lose a lot of food or prey fish at times out of Oahe Dam, and surprisingly out of Lake Sharp we have a number of walleyes that move downstream. So it's there's a lot that goes on there that involves fisheries. The Lower Missouri River is the next slide. And there, keeping and developing the walleye fishery in Lewis and Clark is a challenge. That is a small reservoir that's often flush during years of high flows. Stocking strategies to help accomplish that is a priority. Then seeing how zebra mussels impact the fishery in Lake Francis Case. Are the fish distributed differently? Are they hard to catch at times? Those are the types of things we hope to answer to help anglers. And then a paddlefish condition below Gavin's Point Dam is another thing they'll be looking at there. Next slide. Southeast South Dakota. Fish availability for stocking in urban fisheries are right at the top of the priority list, as are the aging impoundments as well. And then some additional priorities there would be improving river access and lake access. It's, I believe when you were in Watertown, you saw a kayak access right there in the city, helping improve access on those major rivers in eastern South Dakota is a priority. And we do have invasive carp in southeast South Dakota, so that's a concern there, and we'll be working on management of those. Next, last but not least, the northeast, the main glacial lakes area. The stocking evaluations up there for walleyes, muskies, and lake sturgeon. The urban and community fisheries are also very important. We're going to start a project next year on helping us determine the best management strategies for those. And then for habitat and access, a fish passage in the Big Stone Lake watershed is important. That involves both lake sturgeon that have been reintroduced in the Big Stone Lake and walleyes. Gary Creek is the sole cold water stream we have in eastern South Dakota, and we're hoping to improve the habitat and access there and have that be a trout fishery once again, as it has been in the past. And then ice fishing and shore fishing access are always a challenge in the Northeast with the weather we have and the ups and downs and water elevations and things. So those are the priorities that they'll be focusing on at the area levels. Next slide. So the next steps. These are course draft priorities we're sharing that were developed within the department, and we're going out for public review of these after sharing them with the commission. And any information we get, any comments, will be reviewed. We'll incorporate any changes, and then in January we'll bring back a final set of priorities for 24. For your consideration for adoption. And then the plan is to annually review these and see if they're still pertinent and if any updates are needed. Next slide. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have, and appreciate being able to share this information with you on the fisheries program.
Very good. Commissioner Bees?
Commissioner Bees here. Where is our needs for our fish that we're stocking now? Are we meeting what we need, or do we have to expand to get to our needs are at?
Through the chair, Commissioner Bees, we are working on expanding. And the big thing there would be those warm water fish species and being able to raise them to a catchable size to contribute to urban and community fisheries and small impoundments. In addition to that, recirculating aquaculture for producing walleyes as well. Our muskies also we're starting to raise in recirculating aquaculture.
Additional questions? Secretary Roebling.
Thank you, John. Can you expand on that? How much more need is there out there for our anglers? What is the request, and how are we not meeting that request, and by how much?
We don't have a very developed program for production of warm water fish right now. If you remember about a year and a half ago, Mike Barnes, our program administrator for hatcheries, discussed the development of recirculating aquaculture systems. And we're really talking in the thousands of fish there. As an example, when you look at the trout in urban and community fisheries, we stocked 60-some thousand catchable rainbow trout in urban and community fisheries. So it's a large a number of warm water fish we're talking about, specifically things like bass and bluegill that we're able to introduce into those waters and have them contribute to a continual fishery for the public. The trout very often are their stock. They have a contribution for a period of time 2 weeks, 4 weeks, maybe over winter. We're hoping to use those warm water fish for more of a continual support of those fisheries, and knowing that we need to learn about how they actually function in those systems and then what restocking rates will be.
John, I would ask, you mentioned the three state fish hatcheries we have. Where are we with the SDSU possibility of a fish hatchery there?
I think that is still under discussion. I know discussions are regularly occurring, and it's one of those things where whatever I shared today would be changing by tomorrow. But it is something I know that the Secretary and the Department are working on with SDSU.
Yeah, Secretary.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, for the question. Yeah, those conversations are ongoing, and they're very positive. We do think and still believe that putting a fish hatchery on the campus of SDSU is a very good idea in regards to the workforce availability, the academia interest, and the overall interest from the university as well is very, very high. So we are still pursuing that opportunity. I just spoke with President Dunn here earlier this week, and there's definitely ongoing conversations to make this a reality.
Very good. Thank you, Secretary. Commissioner Locken.
Yes, Commissioner Locken here. Are we noticing any survivability difference of the fish that are out of the RAS system? Are they, when we put them in the water, are they more vulnerable to predator fish? Or what are we talking about there?
Through the chair, that's a big part of the evaluations that we're going to have ongoing, and a reason that some of you may remember Brian Blackwell. He's a biologist on our staff. He's done numerous presentations before the commission, but he's our program lead for our surveys and our research, our evaluations right now. And our major push right now is evaluating those things. So we don't know a lot about those things, and to start with, it's very hard to get answers about what works for fish stocking because the environment is so variable. Every lake is different, every year is different, the specifics of how the fish were raised is different, so we're looking more for trends. But the key that we're looking for is we want to make sure that we have a hatchery product from recirculating that's able to meet our needs for returning fish to anglers. So that's really what we're working on, both the urban community fisheries, the walleyes, other things. The muskies is evaluating those stockings right now. And then in association with that, specifically evaluating the management strategies that we're using on the urban and community fisheries. So it becomes a more of situation where you go there and you know you're going to be able to catch fish. That's our goal with urban and community fisheries, is to have an expectation there that we're able to meet, to help it be in a activity that you pursue the same as you would other activities where you understand the investment of time and resources on your part. Here's what you should expect to get back from it. So it's the evaluation of the products from recirculating aquaculture is a priority for us. A part of that is being able to have the products to start with. So we are doing well there. We have a second building at Cleghorn that we're beginning to flesh out with the recirculating systems. Excuse me. And over time, I'm expecting our ability to have those products to directly compare will increase.
Yeah, Commissioner.
Another question. Okay, I took a little tour through the Blue Dog Hatchery early on when I got on the commission. Okay, I'm sure there's more components than three, but three main components I saw were all the jars they were hatching the fish in. And then inside the building, there were the small tanks that were maybe 20, 30 feet long. And then you had the outside rearing tanks, those three components, and I'm sure there's a lot. It's not that simple, but you saw those three things. The recirculating would replace how much of that? Would it replace the, obviously won't replace the jars that the eggs are the fish are hatched in, but does it replace both of the tank that's inside the building and the outside tank, or how do you look at that? What are we gaining with the recirculating?
Through the chair, Commissioner Locke, and I really don't know yet because it's still under study. But with Blue Dog, we go from the egg jars, those fry that hatch out, they end up in the tanks, and then they're placed in the ponds outside. The tanks inside, except for that use for walleyes in the spring, currently are being used to raise trout and salmon the rest of the year, over winter into the for stocking in the spring and for catchable fisheries and things. I don't know. That's a part of the big evaluation is, and you asked this in your first question, was how are those fish in the recirculating aquaculture going to perform? And even with the fish in the ponds at Blue Dog, the performance of those is highly variable among years. What we're going to be doing is the best we can evaluate the recirculating production we have and work on that to get it to the point it can meet our needs because we see it as being more efficient. But I'm expecting that we will be using the ponds at a Blue Dog for the foreseeable future to make sure we meet needs. End of the day, the biggest thing that we're going to do is we're going to meet our need to be able to provide fisheries and then do it as efficiently as possible. And being able to switch over to recirculating aquaculture ideally would be as efficient as possible. So it's that's a part of the big question and a reason, again, we're making a concerted effort here to look at stocking and rearing practices as we develop this recirculating aquaculture technology.
One last question. The recirculating tanks, how large have we gone with the walleyes coming out of those tanks?
Through the chair, Commissioner Locken, we've raised walleyes up to 15 inches in 1 year. And we stocked those in the Sheridan Lake last year. So there's that potential. With muskies, we raise those up to almost 20 inches. And we introduced those into, I believe, Lynn and Middle Lynn last year up in the Northeast. If that's being evaluated. There's the potential to raise fish to very large sizes, to have broodstocks, everything else, and recirculating aquaculture. It's just that continual evaluation to make sure we're doing the most efficient job we can at meeting needs of the public. If there's another product that would be more efficient at meeting the needs of the public than a 15-inch walleye, that would be the product that we would go with. If it's the 15-inch fish, that's an option too. The recirculating systems have that range of being able to produce fish of a number of sizes.
Thank you.
Additional questions? John, I wanted to go down to when you were talking about Southeast South Dakota and the priorities and the possibility of the carp spreading to new waters. Are we talking, how much of that is the jumping carp that really have taken over some of the lower, or I guess the Missouri River and the Big Sioux?
Well, on that, Madam Chair, it would be the silver and the bighead carp, the silver are the ones that are known for jumping. Okay. Currently, we have barriers in place for the Big Sioux and Vermilion Rivers that provide or prevent upstream movement. They are in the James River up into North Dakota. Mostly what our management would entail would just be continuing to monitor the status of those and to study them to see places they could get that they would be an issue.
So at this point, they are still being held in the Missouri River below Yankton.
They're below Gavin's Point Dam. They are able to go all the way up to James into North Dakota. But the dam or spillway structure at East Vermilion Lake and then the structures in Sioux Falls are preventing them from going upstream more in the Vermilion and the Big Sioux Rivers.
Very good. Thank you. Any additional questions or comments? Very good presentation. Thank you very much.
Well, I would like to just thank the commission for their time and the opportunity to share this information on the program. There's a lot of issues that are very dynamic, they're right in front of the commission, big issues at times, and then there's a lot of things that are just business we do over time, like continuing, and a lot of the aquatics things are more of that nature. So being able to share that, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.